What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
Well, good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. I'm so glad that you are here today. I want to say hello to those of you joining us on the live stream or watching on demand. We are glad that you are here. And today, I just want to share with you as we get started and ask for your prayers. Megan and I are looking for a home in the community, and we're planning to make an offer on one today. And so thank you, Jeff, one person. So would ask for your prayers, because we really want this place to be a blessing to those who enter it and to be able to be hospitable and just be a blessing to the neighborhood. So I want to just invite you to be praying along with us that, God would just open up the right place, and we're trusting Him to be faithful. It's interesting when you're house hunting, you go and look at a house and you go to each room and, you're thinking in your mind of how that room would be set up or what you would use it for if you were to buy that house. And so we've been looking at homes, and maybe we've looked at least a half dozen or so. And it's interesting where, every time there's a mention of, well, this could be your home office, I'm thinking, I have small children and they are loud and they run around. And so I'm not sure if home office would be a possibility in this room. And it got me to thinking, if I could have a soundproof room to wouldn't that be great? Those of you with kids running around, you're like, yes, Lord, please. And so you'd be happy to know that there is such a room. It's in Redmond, Washington, and Microsoft built what is known as the world's quietest room. And the world's quietest room took about 2 years to design. And in this room, they put the soundproof panels, and they put all this stuff in the room. And I was reading about it and come to find out that it's so quiet, it's known as the anechoic chamber. It literally means without echo. And it's so quiet, in fact, that you literally start to go crazy after about 45 minutes in this room. And I found that to be interesting in thinking about, our lives where, especially this time of year as we think about and are preparing for the holiday season, and we begin to look at our calendar and we, it starts to fill up and there's that feeling of stress coming over. Anybody been there already? It's not even Thanksgiving and you're just kind of thinking about all the stuff going on in December and the parties and the travel and all this and that. And maybe you had this thought that if I could just get some peace and quiet in my life, then my life would be so much better. Anybody had that thought, especially this time of year? Peace and quiet? Anybody want peace and quiet? Okay, none of you, okay. Roger wants peace and quiet, yeah? And we have this thought this time of year where it's like, if I could just get some peace and quiet in my life and sort of get away from the craziness, get away from the chaos, then my life will be so much better. And if I were to say, you know, the one thing that I think is really causing us to have sort of chaotic lives, it's a lack of peace. It's a lack of peace. And it's the hurry and the busyness. In fact, John Ortberg says that hurry is the great enemy of our day, the great spiritual enemy. And it seems like as we get into the holiday season, that's the thing that we're constantly fighting, aren't we? Hurry and busyness and responsibilities and this and that. But it is the one thing that I think we've got to fight against, because if we don't, it will just sort of happen to us. Right? It's sort of like if we don't take control of our time will take control of us. And the same is true with peace. And we live in this sort of, you know, instant gratification, pop it in the microwave. Now, I'm not against microwave dinners. I've had many in my time, especially in my single life, all about it. Hot Pockets. Anybody remember those? I had one a few months ago. And it was horrible. And I was like, I can't believe my mother fed me this. Yeah, you did. Don't lie. We're in church. But I forgot where I was going. We want this sort of instant spirituality too. And we live in this sort of culture and day where we want the instant pot version of spirituality. You know, just give me the sound bite, or give me the quick, you know, video, or give me just like, give me what I need right now, 2 minutes or less, and I'm good to go. But really, the life of faith that Jesus calls us to is not an instant pot. It's a slow cooker. But see, we don't want that. We want the instant pot. And I love instant pot. Somebody gave us one about a year ago, and it's amazing. And you know, it's ready in like 8 minutes. If it doesn't explode into your face from all the pressure. I think some people have gotten hurt by one. I'll have to check. But we don't want the slow cooker when it comes to faith, do we? Because I think if you're like me, I don't want to go through the process of growing in my relationship with Jesus when maybe if I could just get it in a quick version, a Reader's Digest, Cliff Notes kind of way. That's what I want, right? But this life of busyness and chaos is created by this instant pot spirituality that we are so drawn to. And John Mark Comer says, for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. And I don't know about you, but I feel like this is a pulse of our day right now where we are just conditioned to just sort of skim over our lives and just sort of go through the motions and just sort of breeze by things that really, really matter, that God wants us to just sit and dwell in and pay attention to, but we're so distracted. And there's just a lack of peace. And I think that God offers us the kind of peace that is the exact anecdote to a life of chaos. And I would even say that even if you're not a Christ follower in the room today, that peace is something that is universally longed for. And maybe you don't recognize it as such, but I would say that every one of us longs for the kind of peace that settles our soul and is the answer to a life of chaos. And I think Paul talks about this kind of life. And as we're wrapping up this series, What If, today, talking about how to overcome the worry and anxiety that weighs us down. And I think Paul gives us really the ultimate answer to a life of chaos, a life of busyness in Philippians 4. If you want to turn with me or open up your Bible, it's going to be on the screen. But I just want to read it to you as we get into this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I mean, you know, if the writer of Scripture has to repeat something, it's probably something we should pay attention to, right? He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this is sort of another one of those verses that we could just sort of read and think, well, that sounds nice, but that's not real life. You know, because Paul doesn't live in 2021. I mean, he's not trying to sort of figure it out like we are. But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. I think if we're honest, if we could just be honest for a moment here, that a life of fear and worry and anxiety is a lot more of a reality than a life of joy and prayer and gratitude. And I'll be the first to say, you know, many times in my life, that reality of fear and worry and anxiety is more front and center than joy and prayer and gratitude. But this is the exact antidote to a life of chaos and busyness and worry and anxiety. This joy and prayer and gratitude that Paul is talking about are sort of a result or a product of what is really a longing for God's presence. It's a result of a longing for God's presence, an expectancy for God to move. And I just want to ask us collectively, do we long for God's presence? A longing or yearning means that in deep in our hearts, we long to see God move. We long to see Him do something incredible, go above and beyond our expectations, sort of shake us up, sort of, God, rush into my life and address the injustices that I see and repair the brokenness that I see and God, just do something in our midst. That when we gather here on Sunday, it's sort of like the refueling from life, Monday through Saturday. We gather on Sunday, it's sort of refueling and being sent out again into the places we live, work, and play. But do we long for His presence? And do we know that He's near? See, look at verse, the end of verse 5. Paul says, the Lord is near. And then he says in verse 6, don't be anxious about anything. So you could just sort of connect the two. And Paul's just bringing us to this reality that God is near. And because of this, do not be anxious about anything. He's not just sort of urging us. It's just sort of, hey, just, you know, don't, you got to quit worrying about everything. It's not that big a deal. I mean, you know, that job you're worried about, or that relationship you're not worried about, or the financial thing that's going on that you're worried about, you just got to kind of get some ideas together and good luck. He says, the Lord is near, and because of that, we can be free from anxiety. We can bring our requests to God, and we can have gratitude. See, these things that Paul was mentioning about prayer and joy and thanksgiving and gratitude are not a result of us just sort of getting ourselves together. Where Paul says, look, I'm just going to sort of give you the 1, 2, 3 of what you need to do to sort of get things together. No, Paul is saying, look, God is near. And because of that, the Holy Spirit is going to do something in you that you cannot produce on your own. Now, how many of you woke up this morning and it was maybe a little tough to have joy? You got to be honest. No, thank you. One person's honest. Let's go. See, we sort of read this, and when Paul says, rejoice always, I will say it again, rejoice. We have difficulty with this. And here's why. Because if we try to do this thing on our own and in our own power, we're going to be left exhausted. We cannot produce joy on our own. It is not something we just say. Paul's just not saying, hey, get yourselves together, be happy, right? Just be happy. Now, Paul's saying the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to produce joy, abiding joy. Rejoice always. The psalmist says in Psalm 97, verse 1, he says, rejoice, the Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. See, when Paul is saying for us to rejoice, he's saying, turn your mind and heart to this reality that God is in control. That despite what you see around you, the circumstances that you see, God is in control. That He reigns. And so we're to have joy. Now, here's some things. I think we got to talk about what joy is not. Okay? Joy is not just being content with the status quo. Joy is not just, you know, hey, you should just be happy. I mean, you know, like, I know you have this longing, but that's just not in the cards for you. Or that job or that relationship or that whatever. You know, just be happy with what you have, right? That's not what Paul is saying. When we see injustices around us, things that are not the way they should be, okay? The things that go against how God has designed and desires for this world to function, rejoicing always is not just being content with the status quo and going along with it. It's also not an option. It's not an option. These are commands. Now, when I think about joy being not an option, you know, if you have young children and you're bringing them to church on Sunday morning, sometimes there's a little bit of tension in the car. And, you know, I know not everyone's singing worship songs on the way to church. And maybe, you know, there's this like moment when you get in the car and you might say, well, you need to just wipe that frown off your face. We're going to church, right? Where joy is not an option. But Paul's saying, rejoice. It's a command. It's a command. It's not an option. And it's not temporal. It's not circumstantial. It is a deep, abiding feeling in our soul. Now, I've seen this phrase, you know, you may have seen this too, where it's on like the signs that they, you know, they make and you can buy and somebody paints it or whatever. It's all artsy. But it says like, choose joy. Have I seen that? Choose joy. It's like a thing. Choose joy. And it sort of presents joy as this mental activity or this decision. And joy is not a mental activity. It's an emotion that the Holy Spirit produces deep inside of us. It's a feeling. It's not a decision. It's not a mental activity. And I would define joy as this. Well, I'm skipping ahead, sorry. I also want to talk about Maude Simpson. Maude Simpson, there's a statue. You may have seen this. Do we have that picture, maybe? Yeah? So, Maude Flanders. Why did I say Maude Simpson? So, you know the Simpsons. Maude Flanders is Ned Flanders' wife, and Ned is like the super Christian that lives next door to the Simpsons. Anyway, there's a statue of his wife Maude in Praiseland, and it's really kind of an interesting cultural commentary over the past 20 years or so on Christianity. But on Maude's statue is this quote, and I think this sort of is a commentary on how we view joy in our culture. And this, the phrase on the statue says, she taught us the joy of shame and the shame of joy. She taught us the joy of shame and the shame of joy. It's sort of this commentary, isn't it? That joy is, that we should almost be apologetic for it. That's how, I think that's how many non-Christians view Christians. It sort of, you know, gives us a moment to ponder and think about that. She taught us the joy of shame and the shame of joy. That you and I should not apologize for being people of joy. Because we have joy, it doesn't mean that we're content with the status quo, or it doesn't mean that we are just sort of averse to reality. We sort of, you know, pretend that things aren't the way they are. But I would define joy as this: a feeling in my soul produced by the Holy Spirit that causes me to see the goodness of God around me. That's how I would define joy. And so it begs the question that I want to ask you this morning: where do you see the goodness of God? Where do you see the goodness of God in your family or your neighborhood or your workplace? Where do you see God's goodness? And sometimes we have to sort of fight against the tendency, right, to just point out the things that we don't like about our job or relationships or our marriage. But where do you see the goodness of God? I want you to think about that even as I'm talking, and maybe even write it down. What is something that God is doing that's good? The goodness of God. Then Paul says, hey, pray in every situation. Do not be anxious about anything, because God is near. God is with us. Do not be anxious, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He says, pray in all circumstances. There is not a detail of your life or my life that God does not care about. How would it change your life if you invited God into the seemingly routine moments of your day? Or if you've got a meeting with someone, if you prayed and asked God, God, would you go ahead of me and would you be part of this conversation? If you've got a tough conversation you need to have with someone, if you prayed and asked God to go ahead of you, say, God, would you go ahead of me in this? Would you be a part of this moment? I'm inviting you into this moment of my day. In every situation. That's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? Means that God cares about the details of our life. And that our anxiety is to be a trigger to pray. And so whenever we feel that worry and anxiety, that it might be a trigger to pray, right in that moment, right where we are, to stop just in that moment and pray and ask God, God, would you fill my heart with truth and reminder of your presence, that you are with me, and that I can overcome this through the power of your Spirit that lives in me. And then Paul gets to really the alternative to anxiety. In verse 7, the peace of God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't understand how God produces peace in my life. Because it's beyond my understanding. It's beyond your understanding. It's beyond my comprehension. Like, how could you take this situation that is so chaotic, so disruptive, and make peace out of it when it seems like it's creating this tension in my life? And he does this sort of work all the time, and he delights in it. See, God wants to create peace where there is no peace. It's an alternative to a life of worry and anxiety. That's really where I want us to land in this series, that the peace of God is an alternative that you and I experience both individually and then communally. Like, peace is what keeps us together. And when we walk out of this gathering, it's what keeps us together, the peace of God, despite our backgrounds, despite our preferences, despite our political affiliation. It's the peace that keeps us together. The peace of God is what we offer to a world that is chaotic. It's an alternative to chaos and disruption that we see every single day. It's the peace of God. Peace protects our minds from the thoughts, the very thoughts that lead to fear and distress. Paul says peace will guard your hearts. That's what he means, that peace will protect your mind. So the next time you have a thought enter your mind that leads to fear, that leads to distress, you invite God into that moment right then. And you say, God, would you just come into this moment right now and give me your peace and protect my heart. See, the heart is the very center of who we are. It is deep inside. It is our very soul. That's why peace is a feeling. It's a deep abiding feeling. It's not just a mental activity. And then you and I have a mission to live the gospel of true peace. See, the biblical word in the Old Testament, the word for peace is shalom. It just means wholeness or completeness, quietness, rest. We could think of shalom or peace as the way that God intended things to be. That's the simple way of thinking about peace. And so every time we see something in our own lives, in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in our circle of relationships that is not the way it's supposed to be, it's a reminder that God has called us to live the true gospel of peace, the true message of peace that is so desperately needed. Have you ever thought that your life might be used by God? God might want to use your life to be a true agent of peace where you live, work, and play. That God might be sending you on mission to join Him in bringing peace amidst chaos. So think about the situation in your life that there's a lack of peace right now. What would happen if you invited God to rush into that situation, to come into the middle of it and take over because you've tried to create peace on your own and it hasn't worked out and you're exhausted or you're out of ideas and you're frustrated? What if you said, God, take over this situation in my life. Bring your peace where there seems to be no possibility of peace. God is in the business of doing that. God wants to do that. So that's my challenge to us as we wrap up this series, to invite God into the places where there seems to be no peace and ask Him to use us to bring peace. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's at your work. Maybe it's in your own family, in your own household. That God would bring peace and He would use you to be that peace, to be that change. How different would our families be? How different would our neighborhoods be? How different would this community be if we saw ourselves as being sent by God to be agents of His peace? That's the business that God is in. That's what He wants to do in your life, in my life, in the life of our church, and in this community, to bring His peace. Will you pray with me? Father, we just invite you into this moment. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this moment. We ask that you would bring peace. God, that you would remind us that you are near. And that because you are near, we can be free from anxiety and worry. We can commune with you and bring our requests to you and be driven to prayer, that our anxiety and worry would be a trigger to pray, and that would produce gratitude and thanksgiving. Lord, and that we would live this life of peace and be agents of peace where we live, work, and play because you have sent us out on mission to do just that with our lives. So God, we ask for your wisdom. We ask for your strength to do this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.